he said, Abraham, you will be father of many nations. There are plenty of people who God would say that to, and they'd be like, I don't believe it, right? But God says to you or me, he says, hey, you're going to be this, and you say, amen, right? That's a gift to be able to do that. See, you receive that from God. Now, in their system, you don't. No, you provide the faith. Oh, I believe. So it is, you're almost getting back to where, hey, it's by works because I'm the one providing the faith. Ultimately, God can't save me until I step forward and accept him. Right? God, that's one thing God can't do is make you accept him. They would say, I don't agree. God can do anything he wants, and that's how he does save you. See, he comes down, puts his hand in the earth, and he takes you. Takes you to himself, for himself. And see, that law, the reason that almost doesn't fit, they set the bar so low. So it doesn't show you much of what you're not supposed to. It's just one commandment. Believe. So it's sort of like, while they turn faith into a law, they make it so minimalist that it's almost like, it almost doesn't fit at this juncture. But it fits. It still works, wrath. Because once again, it's telling you what you're doing. You need to believe, unless you just accept the Lord at this one point in your life, you can't be saved. This is how you have to be saved. And this is what you have to do. And then God is, he's got his favor out there for everyone. And once you accept it, then it's effective. See, whereas I see it is God's grace comes to me without me being worthy, while I'm yet ungodly. When you look at Abraham. Now, did Abraham go, God, I believe you can make me the father of many nations. Then did God swoop down and say, yeah, you know what? You're right. No. Well, Abraham was an ungodly one. He said, Abraham, get you out of your country. God came to Abraham. Abraham did not go to God. The same thing is like, we don't come to Jesus. Jesus comes to us. I mean, we do come to Jesus because he brings us. Okay, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. See, it is ultimately of faith because it is of grace. Because you can't even believe the thing God is saying unless he gives it to you. To the end of the promise might be sure to all. Meaning, see, it has to be by grace, by faith, which is given of God, because otherwise it wouldn't be sure. See, it's got to be, with God, it's a sure thing. See, when God sets out to save someone, it is a sure thing. He's a strong God. If God wants to save you, you get saved. See, he isn't wringing his hands saying, oh, I hope they accept the promise. I hope, he went, God, what am I going to do if Abraham doesn't accept the promise? I mean, he's all set to be the line of Christ. I set this stuff up. And now, if Abraham doesn't accept the promise, I mean, what am I going to do? Oh, gosh, I hope he accepts it. That's not God. Now, I'm a little facetious, but it's kind of the way they portray it. It's like it's all up to man. Man could accept God or man might not accept God. They might accept the promises or not. But with God, because it is by faith, it is of faith by grace, of being like, out of, ek in the Greek, the preposition. It is of faith by grace, so things are sure. See, little things like that, I think it missed to all the seed. Now, is he talking about the literal seed? No, he's talking about the spiritual seed. Because he immediately qualifies it not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of Saul. So those who are of the law, but also, see, because in the law, there was also faith. See, you couldn't be justified by the law, but those who are under the law, when they had faith, they were justified by faith. It's like David. David, under the law, was condemned. But by faith, he was justified. God did not impute sin, etc., etc., etc. So it is with all his elect. He justifies the ungodly through faith. As I know. So the father of Saul, Abraham, as I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. God quickened the dead and called those things which be not. God makes alive the dead. I always love that. God makes the dead people alive. Because you die. You go in the ground. And the truth about death is, there's nothing there. Just black. You die. You don't go to heaven. You don't go to to the purgatory, which is basically what all the Christians believe. They say, oh, no, we don't believe in purgatory. We believe we go straight to hell. Well, no, no. You do go to hell. Just like Jesus. I mean, when Jesus says Jesus died, he went to hell. A lot of people don't know that, but that's what the scriptures teach. The scriptures say he descended into hell. And that what it simply means is the grave. He went into the ground. Because hell, you know, the several words translated hell, and it gets confusing for people. But the truth is that that idea is he went into the ground. And he said to the thief, I'll see you in paradise. And he was just saying that, I declare to you today. But God raises up the dead. The dead, you know, so, some people err these days and they say, well, the dead are already raised. They're already in heaven. They're all looking through the portholes of heaven. And they're wishing us well. Grandma's looking down. It's not true. They're dead. They're in the ground. And I have hope that after I am dead and buried, God will raise me up from the dead. Because that's what he does. He calls those things which be not as though they are, as being. So he says, you know, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the God of the living, not of the dead. Because he still sees them as living. Because in him they are alive. He will raise them. And because if he says it, oh, it's as good as done. Because he inhabits eternity. I mean, you know, to him it's like, oh, I can't even, you know, the nature of God is too high for man. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You want to have righteousness? Believe what God has said that he will perform. I tell you, there are promises in the New Testament. It's like that thing I read from Titus chapter 2. I love that one because it includes the grace of God. So the grace of God teaches us, denying ungodliness. So, now, I don't look at myself and say, God, I'm a man made of flesh. There's not a righteous man on the earth that doeth good. You know, you could look back in chapter 3. And as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all out of the way. They are all become unprofitable. I mean, you could have faith in that.